welcome along. It is the Racing Post Day 2 Royal Ascot Postcast. It's great to have you with us. It's Bruce Millington, Keith Melrose, James Hill and Paddy Powers, James Ryan. Seven races, lots of which look devilishly difficult. And we've had a slight curveball from the skies as well with the introduction of soft into the going description. There was a lot of rain on Monday night, so Royal Ascot started on good to soft. Before we go through the races, Keith, how much has that altered your thinking?
I'm not much of a ground punter, to be quite honest with you. So in probably two-thirds of cases, it won't really affect me, the difference between good and good to soft ground. I had assumed good ground for today, I suspect, or for Tuesday. I suspect by Wednesday, we probably will be looking at good ground again. Although the weather obviously is quite changeable. I was speaking to Tom Siegel this morning on the phone. He lives 5 miles from Ascot and said he hadn't had a drop.
Yeah, so I think there's basically just these kind of isolated showers that if you get one, you're absolutely, you know, you're really, really getting hit by a lot of rain. And if you don't, then it's bone dry.
Yeah, 10 mils though, isn't it? That's an awful lot.
It is a lot of rain, that, yeah. And presumably they will have been watering as well. So it's been a tricky one for the team at Ascot, hasn't it? As if they haven't got enough problems without anyone there. Okay, well, let's get stuck in, see how we go. Wednesday starts with one of the new races. It's the Silver Royal Hunt Cup Handicap, 24 runners, brutally difficult. James, take it away with Paddy Power's show of betting.
Yeah, indeed, Bruce. And we're going to be extra places here. And they haven't been finalised, but over the course of the cards, there'll be so much more. So I keep an eye on everyone, keep an eye on the Paddy Power app. Uzo heads their market at 11-2, Maidani 8-1, Presidential 8-1, Sir Busker 10s, Nicholas 10s. There's a heap of horses on 10s and 12-1 bar.
James Hill, nice easy start. I'll chuck this one into your lap and let you get on with it.
Yeah, just the 24 runs to start with. But I'm actually quite keen on the chance of the top weight here, Bruce Sir Busker. Very impressed with his performance when he won at Newcastle last time. Liked his attitude there. I thought he kept on really well. And that was a good race. He was beating a quality horse in Dark Vision, had some solid types in behind. We know trainer William Knight's in terrific form, and Ocean Murphy's obviously a significant booking. So I think Sebastian's got strong claims. And I'm just going to also have a saver on a real core specialist, that's Zhu Feng, for Amanda Perrett. Zhu Feng, of course, won the Royal Hunt Cup here a few years back. He's just generally got very good track form. And he's £3 lower than when second here back in August. So he ran well on his reappearance at Newmarket recently. I'm going to have a bit on him each way as well.
Okay, that is, believe me, if you know James, that's really confident for him. You know, on the postcast when DJ or Frank Hickey really go into overdrive. That believe me, knowing James, that's confident start from him with Sir Busker. Are you confident, Keith?
Not especially. You can't be confident. Can you be confident in a race like this? You can be confident you've got a horse that's going to, you know, run well, but God, you can bump at anything in these races. I was glad to hear Jimmy mention there a positive mention for Sir Busker for reasons we'll come on to in the Big Hunt Cup. But for now, the one that I did pick out in this race at pretty massive odds was Dean Street Doll. She caught my eye a little. Now, she was fifth, I think, in the Irish Guineas going back to last year for her former trainer in Ireland. Joined David Manrizi this year, and on her first start, had a run out at Kempton, very much shaped as though in need of the run. She now gets into this race off 93. She is black type quality, and yet you can get, I've got 33-1 in front of me. I don't know exactly what Paddy Power's odds are, but she is drawn in three. That's the one thing to keep an eye on. We have the Buckingham Palace as a first race on Tuesday, and that will probably, whether it's accurate or not, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy that whatever comes out on top in that race will be seen as the place to be in terms of the draw. So being on the wing does carry a bit of risk betting early, but I think she is overpriced on her form.
Oh, interesting suss there from Keith. Dean Street Doll. James Ryan, what have you got for us?
Yeah, I think this is pretty strong selection in Uzo, just at the head of the market. I think he'll go off a good bit short. I wouldn't be surprised if he went off 7-2 or 3-1. When you look at the race the last day, I think that's the time of that worked out really well in comparison to even the Guineas on the previous card. And the sectionals are pretty exceptional, suggesting that both horses at the head of that market are quite ahead of their mark. And again, he's running off 91. The handicapper hasn't had time to reassess him. So to me, this horse could have 10 pounds in hand here. And when you're looking through the field, it's kind of like, you know, what else potentially could have 10 pounds in hand? Obviously, there's the Mark Johnson horse out of attraction, but I just think Uzo, Ryan was kicking himself. I know Richard Hannon was interviewed during the week and just said, look, Ryan held up his hands, said he got it completely wrong, didn't realise how quickly the horse would pick up. I just think if you're looking for one that has 10 pounds in hand, I think this would be this is one that I arguably can't see that it doesn't have 10 pounds in hand. And I think it'll go very close here. And I think if the draw will suit, I think the Smile a Mile is near it. Zhu Feng is two below it. You know, there's going to be pace around him. I just think he'll get a lovely toe into the race and hopefully he should go very close.
Awesome. Interesting selections there. So James Hill goes to the top. Little Rod Laver on Zhu Feng. Keith likes Dean Street, Dole at a big price, and James Ryan is all over Uzo, the favourite. Excellent. We're off and running. The 150 is next. It's the Hampton Court Stakes over a mile and two, and it's a Group 3. And an interesting race in so much as we get the first chance to assess the 2,000 guineas form with Juan Elcano, who ran so well in fifth at a massive price. Sharing favouritism, I believe, James.
He is indeed, Bruce. And we have a free £5 free bet that have been so successful over the past couple of weeks here as well. So all you have to do is log in, click on the banner and sign up for the promo and you get a free £5 in your account to bet on this race.
Can't be bad.
No, not at all.
Take us through a show.
Indeed. So First Receiver is our joint favourite with Juan Elcano at 9-4. Russian Emperor for Aidan O'Brien, 7-2. Berlin Tango, 6s. Kenzai Warrior, 12s. Mascot, 14s. King Carney, 25s. And New World Tapestry is 33-1.
Keith, away you go.
I've always been a big fan of Juan Elcano. I was pleased to see him run so well in the guineas without actually making the places, because if he had, I would have been kicking myself, because he's a horse I've liked since his debut. He did look like he wanted a mile two in the guineas, I thought. I don't know what the lads all think, but that horse shaped like a horse that wanted a little bit further. And the fact that he's joint favourite with First Receiver, his form is miles better than First Receiver's. That guineas form, you know, the first five in the guineas, pulled a bit clear. They are all probably Group 1 horses under the right conditions. But his First Receiver, while impressive at Kempton, still has an awful lot to prove relative to a horse that's finished fifth in a guineas. The only way I can see First Receiver getting much joy is if Frankie gets to do what he likes on the front. But I can't see that being the case with New World Tapestry in there. And there is another front runner in the race as well. And I forget which one it was. But I can see it being a reasonable test. And that being so, the form pick, Juan Elcano, should take a lot of beating.
That makes total sense, Keith. James Ryan, what do you think will happen here?
Yeah, In a way, I'd agree with Keith. I'd be definitely wanting to take on First Receiver. And Juan Elcano would be kind of the obvious one. But I'm going to take a bit of a chance on Kenzai Warrior just from, you know, throwing out the 2,000 guineas run. I actually thought he ran really well considering what happened to him at the start. He's one horse that won't have had a run that day at all. Jason Watson knew his chance was gone immediately. Just get kind of cantered them home and what I'd look at as a nice piece of work before this race. I think the step up to a mile two will help. You kind of like the ground to dry out a little bit, but I still think he'll you know, should definitely run his running. And kind of if you maintain the eight runners, I think at 12-1 he has a great each way chance.
And James Hill, any love for First Receiver from you?
Not really, Bruce. I was very impressed at Campson with the performance, and I think a hike up to a mark of 98 is fine. It's just still a way off some of the principles here. And I still think he's got a bit to do. Juan Elcano, I thought, ran a terrific race in the 2,000 guineas. Really likeable sort. Just for the concern of the step up in trip here, he's not short of pace. And I'd be a bit worried about how well he's settled over this longer trip. So I'm going to go with the Aidan O'Brien trained Russian Emperor, who was second in the Derrinstown Derby trial recently. Just watching his races, he looks to stay this trip really well. And given the recent rain we've had, I'm just going to prefer him over Juan Elcano.
Okay, so to confirm there, Keith, Melrose goes for Juan Elcano. James Ryan goes for Kenzai Warrior and Jimmy Hall goes for Russian Emperor. None of them mad on the chance of First Receiver. Let's move on to the 225. The King George V Stakes. It's a handicap over a mile and a half. Ultra competitive. James, take it away with a show of betting and then tell us who's going to win.
Yeah, Kips is their 4-1 favourite, followed by Bright Melody 6s, Win O'Clock 13-2, Convict 7-1, 2 Nathaniel 8s, Bodyline 9s and 10s Bar. I like Bodyline here for Sir Mark Prescott. I think that Yarmouth race is going to work out pretty well, even though Celestrine kind of let down the form a little bit in the listed race. I think there's a couple of horses in behind that looked like they could be very well handicapped. And just the way he ran on at the end of the race, it really just suggests that, you know, a mile four or the step up and trip will really suit him. He's a really, really good looking mover. If you go back and watch that Epsom run when he won over 7 furlongs, which is way too short for an Australian out of a Indian Ridge mare, like he was all over the place, couldn't really handle the track. So I just think this track will really suit him. Mark Prescott's horses have started off in really, really good form this year. I just think this track is going to suit him. The wide draw of 17 wouldn't be any issue on the mile four course. It's almost nearly an advantage to be drawn there wide, as it can always get pretty, messy on the rail. So body line at 9-1 is the one I'm going to stick with here.
Keith, who are you going to go for?
I did just say about how you can struggle to be confident in races like this, but I am quite confident on one here. I really like Bright Melody. If people listening to this podcast go and watch one replay on my say-so from this, it would be that run at Kempton of his in the classic trial. You watch that and you'd think he was almost in the wrong race here. You think he should be running in the Queen's Vase. He looks like a really classy stayer in the making. He got a pretty bad trip, had to come right the way round on the home turn, only really picked up late on and was really going on at the finish to finish third in that race. The cheek pieces go on just as a bit of insurance. That race was a mile two and it's now a mile four at Ascot. I think that'll be sufficient emphasis on stamina, considering he's running off 98. Ultimately, I think he'll stay a bit further, but I think he's a very well handicapped horse.
Excellent. Yeah, that is very confident, Keith. James, who do you like? Jimmy Hill?
Yeah, lots of really interesting ones in here. The two in particular that catch my eye, one at the head of, near the head of the weights, King's Caper. He ran a really eye-catching race in the Lingfield Derby trial last time. That form looks pretty good. And very interesting booking in Frankie Dettori, especially when you consider John Gosden's got a horse coming in here on a hat-trick in Tuna Faniel. So really interesting, Dettori's riding King's Caper. And he would have had other races to go for as well, Mark Johnston's colt. So interesting they've gone here with him. And also one of the lighter weights, Arthurian Fable, hasn't won a race yet, but came very close to winning at Newmarket last time to a horse who's running on Thursday in the Golden Oaks Handicap Global Storm. Really eye-catching run. They pull well clear of the rest of those two that day. And this race looks ideal for him. He looks to have been primed for it. So I'm going to have a bid on him as well.
Thank you, chaps. Not too much agreement. Again, Keith goes Bright Melody. James Ryan goes for Bodyline. And Jimmy Hall chucks a couple of darts at this one in King's Caper and Arthurian Fable. Let's do the race of the day next.
Paddy Power are giving customers a £5 free bet for one race on day two of Royal Ascot. Log on to the app for more information and to claim your free bet. Terms and conditions apply. 18+.
Welcome back. It's the Royal Ascot Day 2 podcast. Bruce Millington, Keith Melrose, James Hill and Paddy Powers, James Ryan. Let's assess the chances of Japan in the race of the day, the Group 1. Prince of Wales' stakes over a mile and two. I think James Ryan is a shade of odds on, isn't he?
He is indeed. He's 10 to 11, Bruce. Barney Roy is our second favourite, our joint second favourite, 5 to 1 with Hedman. Adabe is 15 to 2, who now obviously will be interesting with a bit of rain overnight. Lord North, 10 to 1. Medea, 10 to 1. And Bangkok, 40 to 1.
Keith, slightly irksome that we only have the 7 runners if you wanted to oppose Japan. Do you want to oppose him?
No, I think he's borderline value at any odds on, to be honest. If he'd got a slightly more enterprising ride in the arc, he would have finished third there and he'd be 4 to 7. So I think that you've got to, I think he's the one to beat. Obviously he's the one to beat, and I think I would, if I got anything odds against, I would definitely be getting involved and quite heavily, because he's easily the best of these. I would be assuming that he's ready to go first time up. I assume he's been kept in training to pick up some more mile two group ones to help his stallion value when he eventually goes to stud, so he will be fit for this, I would have assumed. And that being the case, anything even money or bigger is definitely a bet. And 10 to 11, that being the case, can't be far off value.
James Hill, do you agree?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, those sorts of odds don't really interest me. But, I mean, he's a clear class act here, isn't he? Dave's the only horse who gets within £6 of him on official ratings. And he looks the sort of horse for Aidan O'Brien, who could improve as a four-year-old. So, top class form over this distance, obviously winning the Jarman International when he beat last year's winner of this Crystal Ocean. I do notice that some people are saying his record first time out isn't that great. But I wouldn't be too concerned about that. I mean, actually, if you look both times, he was completely friendless in the market. He was a 9-1 shot as a two-year-old when he made his race course debut. And last year in the Dante, when he had his first start, I think he'd had a bit of a hold-up and he really wasn't fancied to win that day at all. So I think he'll definitely be primed on this occasion. And he's definitely the one to be.
James Ryan, can you see any way Japan doesn't win this?
No, I'd agree with the lads here. Even just to confirm that, like in the Dante last year, Aiden said he needed to get the run into him if he was going to run him in the Derby. And he, you know, he'd left an awful lot to work on. So I wouldn't be too worried about him coming back first time out. And as the guy said, even from a Stallion Valley perspective, the Coolmore team love this race and it just adds value. So he'll be ready to go. I think he'll be really hard to beat. He improved all the way through last season. You can only see him improving again this season. I think he'll be very hard to beat.
Good stuff. Well, given how hard the rest of the card is, it's nice that there is some agreement on that and that we look like we've got something by way of a banker. Hard to be as confident, I would have thought, in our next race. The 3:35, it's the Royal Hunt Cup. If you like your sprint, your difficult handicaps, this is about as tough as it gets. 24 runners thundering down the 1 mile straight. There will be some clues from the Constellation race run couple of hours earlier, but they may be red herrings. Let's get the latest betting from James Ryan.
Indeed, Lord Tennyson is our 13-2 favourite, followed by Bell Rock at 15-2, Montatam 8-1, Al Raja 9-1, Raising Sand 9-1, Kinran 12s, Dark Vision 12s, and 14-1 bar.
Jimmy Hill, are you the kind of guy that when you've got one of these situations where you've got a big handicap on the day and then there's consolation races earlier, when the consolation races run, do you automatically look at the draw and then start trying to scurry around, trying to get the best prices from horses in the big race that have run, that are similarly berthed? Or do you take all that with a little pinch of salt?
I'd say I'd take it with a pinch of salt. I mean, it's not, there are plenty of races run over the straight track. We'll also see what's happened on the first day as well. So, you know, you've got enough evidence there. But I just going on one race, I don't like to just do my bets just on that small piece of evidence. So in this occasion here, I've actually gone with two horses drawn on different sides of the track. The one that really interests me is this horse, Willie John of Roger Varian's. Now, Willie John, a few years back, was sold for a record 1.9 million guineas at Tattersall's. I think that was a European record. And I think they were obviously hoping that he'd run in better races at Royal Ascot than the Hunt Cup. But he remains lightly raced, seems to have a good attitude, and goes well fresh. I think it's really interesting that they're dropping him back in trip here. He's got that touch of class on some of his best form. So
it was that run at Doncaster all those years ago that got everybody excited.
Yeah, everyone got really excited. Yeah. I mean, I don't think he was ever a 1.9 million guineas purchase, but he's clearly got ability. I mean, maybe he's had issues or something. That's why he hasn't run that much. But fresh seems to be the best time to catch him. And hopefully the ground will have dried out a bit come Wednesday. Given he's drawn on the other side, I'm going to have a little saver on Petrus, drawn in stall 20. I really fancied him for this race last year, and he was very disappointing. Perhaps it was the rain had got into the ground by that stage, but he's about two pounds lower this year, so I'm going to have a little bit on him as well.
Okay, James Ryan, who are you going to go for here?
Yeah, following on from Uzo in the first race, I just think that form is really, really strong, so I'm going for Bell Rock, who won that race in Newmarket. Now has a £5 penalty, but I still think he could be very well in, just even the times that he finished in, similar to my Uzo argument. He just finished off really well, suggesting he was, almost a group pattern horse. Obviously, he was really highly campaigned last year from the Andrew Ballingard, and I know they thought a lot of him. And even in his debut run was when he kind of first really came on my radar. I think if you look at the layout of this race, like the pace is in the middle of the track. So I think he could get a lovely toe into the race and draw on 10. When Vela Kent is just two up from, similar to Al Raja and Laura Tennyson and Kinran, they're all horses that like to go forward. And if you look on either side of the cards, you know, a lot of it tends to be kind of hold up horses. So I think he could get a lovely toe into the race, even from the middle of the track. But yeah, I just think that's really, really good form. I think his style of running will suit the track in behind the pace. And I think at 15-2, I'd nearly be doubling up with Uzo in the first, because if that form works out well, he'll be a lot shorter on the day.
Oh, excellent. And with the extra places, you can do an each way double and, you know, be pretty hopeful that you might at least get the consolation of the two place parts copping. Keith, this is a really interesting race as ever, obviously. Who is your eye drawn to?
Well, yeah, to qualify again, it is fiercely competitive. But I have got one that I think I've got a really interesting angle into this one. It's Dark Vision. I was happy that Jimmy mentioned Sir Busker earlier on, because Sir Busker beat Dark Vision ahead at Newcastle on the Tuesday of resumption week. And the analysis shows that Dark Vision actually shaped like the best horse. He was on the wing all the way through. He made a massive move to the front from 3 furlongs out to 2 furlongs out. And he just did it a little bit too early. He got mown down late. The visual impression was that Sir Busker was the only horse really going forward at the end. And that's proved to be what happened. The third in that race, fifth positions, come out since and won. The rest of the field were trailing way back. So it's probably really quite good form. Dark Vision he won the Vintage Stakes as a 2-year-old, so obviously a really classy horse. And I think on the basis of what he did at Newcastle, you can assume that he's back to being as good as he ever was. So in a Hunt Cup of 100, you've got to be interested at 14-1, I think.
Well, Paul Keighley has tipped Dark Vision, I think, every single race he's run in since he was a debutant. So I'm sure he'll be going for that one as well, Keith. So two great minds thinking alike there. Okay, really interesting Royal Hunt Cup. James Hill likes Petrus, but his main tip is Willie John. James Ryan goes for Bell Rock. And Keith Melrose goes for Dark Vision. Right, it's 2-year-olds time. 20 runners tackle the Windsor Castle Stakes. Probably uniquely, it's the first time ever there's been a 2-year-old race at Royal Ascot where all of them have had just one run. There isn't a duck egg in sight. It's very intriguing. And I'm sure it's very competitive betting-wise, James Ryan.
It is indeed. Chief Little Hawk for Aidan O'Brien heads our market at 9-2. Sunshine City for Wesley Ward and Frankie Vittori at 5-1. Tactical 13-2. Sheriff Bianco 7-1. Get it 8-1. Mighty Gurkha 8-1 and 10-1 bar.
Okay, Mr. Ryan, what have you heard? You've had your ear to the ground in Ireland all week, no doubt. What do you know?
Well, I know they really like that Aidan horse, but I also know they like his second string, Hyde Park. Barracks as well, who ran the same race just behind them. Just for, I suppose, context, they both went off 7-2 that day when Hyde Park Barracks looked nearly the third string on ratings or on jockey bookings. But the one I'm going for here is an Andrew Balding horse, Tactical. I think that Newmarket Maiden won by Eye of Heaven could be like the form race to look at during this week. Obviously, they set a track record time, but Tactical could have finished a lot closer. He was pretty green. Not sure he handled the dip overly well. He's a big striding horse by Taranado, so this track I think will suit better, especially with the uphill finish. It can really suit those, I suppose, longer striding horses in comparison to Newmarket, which I suppose the good example of Barney Roy a couple of years ago, Ascot suited him a lot better than Newmarket after the Guineas. The time just looked really good. He ran all the way to the line after getting squeezed. He even picked up again after that, kind of got a bit squeezed. And I think he certainly looks the type that'll improve. Now, obviously, Aidens and all will improve as well, but I think he's just a little bit of a bigger price. I'd be keen to take on the Wesley Ward horses. Interesting, that Wesley Ward horse running in a maiden claimer for 15 grand first time out. It's a lot of a lesser grade than what he'd normally run his horses in when they come over. So I'd be slightly against Sunshine City for him. But yeah, Tactical for me in this for James Doyle and Andrew Balding.
Keith, this is interesting, isn't it? What do you make of it?
It's extremely interesting. I won't be betting heavily on it because necessarily these horses have all had one run. It's a case of looking what comes out of it. Now, I hope James is right about the tactical side of things, because I think Eye of Heaven in the Norfolk is going to be one of my bets of the week. They knew he was going to win that race, and despite not being on the rail where you seemingly had to be at Newmarket that week, he still won pretty handily. So I will be looking out for Tactical to see if that form gets a boost. But just to sort of bring one up at a price in this that I will be looking out for, Amaro's got two in here. Stedman, who ran and was second to the Learjet at Yarmouth, but that was a straight five, bit of a drag in, and he looked to know his job very well, so I can see why Danny Tudhope's picked him. Stay Smart, everything went wrong for him when he won at Wolverhampton the time before. He was green out the stalls, green early on, green round the bend, and then they pulled him out in the last two, and he won really quite handily going away. A straight drag of 5 furlongs will really suit him. I can see him coming on a lot for it. And while I wouldn't say get heavily involved at 22-1, I think if you're looking to play at small stakes in this race, he's the one I'd be looking at.
25-1, no less. Okay, that's great. James, who do you think wins the Windsor Castle?
Yeah, I don't really have a strong feel for this. But one horse who I was impressed with on debut was Mighty Gurkha of Archie Watson. We know what a good trainer of two-year-olds he is, and of course he won this race 2 years ago. Mighty Gurkha, I mean, wasn't beating much at Lingfield, but he did absolutely destroy his opposition. Looked to have loads of pace. I wouldn't necessarily say he has to lead. He's got pace around him, so that should suit. And providing his draw's not too bad, I think he can give Holly Doyle a first Royal Ascot winner.
Splendid. Right then, James Ryan likes tactical. Keith Melrose, tentative, but I think he made a strong case for Stay Smart at a big price. And James Hill likes Mighty Gurkha for Holly Doyle. Okay, day two concludes with another new race. It's a 1 mile 6 foot handicap called the Copper Horse Handicap. It takes place at 4:40. We have 16 in the field. And yet again, it's a difficult test for punters. James Ryan, take it away with Paddy Power's latest.
Yeah, this is a real tricky one, Bruce, and we're extra places here, but Fajera Prince is our 92 favourite. Clyde is 5-1. Hubei, of course, is a reserve, so just keep an eye on that one. It's 6-1. The Max We Can is 8-1. Ranch Hand, 8-1, and it's 10-1 bar.
Keith Melrose, you can have first crack at this.
Sort of race I really like. I will probably look at it again this evening. Sort of race I like to really get my teeth into, and there's a lot of very interesting horses in there. The one horse I'll definitely be backing is Ranch Hand. I backed him in the Cesaro, which I think he was a bit of a day of race gamble. Really fancied him for that race, but it didn't quite work out. I can see them having aimed him at a race like this first time up. Just one thing, you don't need me to make the case for Ranch Hand particularly. Everybody should know what's interesting about that horse. I just thought it was interesting with the Max We Can being ridden by James Doyle. I thought, what's Joe Fanning riding? And he has chosen to ride Hotchfield, the horse right at the bottom of the market, a horse that was a very solid mid to high 100s horse when he was last racing regularly in 2018. Clearly had some problems. He only ran twice last year and then has had a break. But as a result of it, he's come down to a mark of 98. As I say, on his old form, he is £10 better than that. And the fact that Fanning's gone for him over the Max We Can is quite interesting to me. So I may just have a wee saver on him.
Okay. James Hill, who do you like?
Well, I absolutely agree with Keith about Ranch Hand. I think he's got a really good chance here now we've had this rain. I was very impressed with his victory at Haydock last season. That form's worked out. I liked his attitude as well. Despite his side, he released his neck out. And I don't think he's badly treated on that form. As I said, he needs cutting the ground. If we get some more thundery showers, which are forecast later in the afternoon on Wednesday, I think that's only going to increase his chances. And he goes well fresh too, so Ranch Hand for me.
And James Ryan, who do you think will win this?
I'm going for the James Fanshawe-trained Salino. I just think there's a couple of interesting things about this horse. Now, obviously, he won his handicap last time out. I've seen a much lower grade by 10 lengths, but he absolutely bolted up, and he's got £12 for that. But interesting to me is the change in ownership gone from Dr. Catherine Wills to Qatar Racing. So that kind of suggests to me that they're thinking about this as kind of a Melbourne Cup horse. I can't really see else why they'd buy into a gelding, a 4-year-old gelding from James Fanshawe's yard. So it just suggests to me that this horse could still have an awful lot in hand. And we don't really know kind of the pit of his potential. Like, he could still just be on an upward curve. He's a Champs-Élysées out of a Red Ransom there. They always improve for age. He was a May foal. So I just think this extra year under his belt can only help. And, you know, he's carrying 9 stone 2. He's 12-1. I just think he could go well, and he's kind of the unknown potential in this field.
Blimey, you're all in on O'Sheen Murphy. Okay, chaps, many thanks. Let's get the day to naps.
This will not be beaten.
James Hill.
I'm going to go with Sabuska in the first race of Silver Royal Hunt Cup at 1:15.
James Ryan.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Uzo in the 1:15, but maybe put in a double as well with Bell Rock in the 3:35 as the nap.
And Keith Melrose.
Well, I've put up a load of flyers at big prices in Japan, so it really leaves me with Bright Melody, doesn't it? I do fancy him.
Excellent stuff. That is Bright Melody, and that is in the 225. Okay, chaps, many thanks for your wisdom. Good luck with your wages. And thank you so much for listening, everyone. Like I say, bet responsibly, hopefully successfully as well. We've got racing postcards all week at Royal Ascot, so we're back tomorrow. And don't forget also, we've got the most fantastic offer. If you want to join Members Club Ultimate for just £10 for 3 months, it really, really is, honestly, take it from me, the best value you will get all through Royal Ascot Week. What it enables you to get for £10 is 3 months worth of daily Racing Post downloadable editions, 3 months worth of Weekenders, 3 months worth of Outlooks, all the great things on racingpost.com, all the ratings, all the premium content, video replays, the lot. It really, really is a phenomenal offer. If you want to take it up, go to racingpost.com and input the code 3 for 10.
Paddy Power are giving money back as a free bet if your horse finishes second, third or fourth on one horse race every single day. Terms and conditions apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.